them tonight either. Looks like it's okay. Anyway. Okay, we're going to do about 3 psukim tonight. We're starting from pasuk. We'll try and finish the parak. Last week we mentioned pasuk Yudbeis, that which is the pasuk which the end of which is at the top of this page, that the people came to Achish, the king of the Plishtim, and said, hey, this guy David is here, and David, who's supposed to be the Melech Haaretz, who's supposed to be the king of the land, has come down here. This is the guy upon whom they said, so the Malbim says, why is he called Melech Haaretz, and brings down Melech Chazal, that he was called Melech Haaretz because there was a condition really made between Goliath and David, that whoever would lose the war, the victor would be the king and the other fellow land. And we're going to see this a little bit more explicitly later on in Midrashim. So therefore, actually the Malbim doesn't bring that. I don't think the Malbim brings down the Medrash. The Malbim just says that since he's greater than David, so then Shaul therefore he should be considered like a king. But the Chazal do have a Medrash that there was such a deal made, and we're going to talk about that deal in a few minutes. In that light, in vain, it's interesting that that David is called for the first time a king, specifically in the Eretz Plishtim. In other words, that land, Plishtim, is where he derived really his power from. Like we mentioned last week, that he derived his power from his defeat of Goliath. So therefore, the first place in Tanakh where David is actually explicitly called a king is this place over here, which is when he goes out there to Plishtim. Ironically enough, they are the first ones to recognize this. Now, let's see Pasuk Gimel Yudalit. David, he put in his heart, he paid attention to these things which the people were saying about him. And he was very fearful because of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his reason in their eyes. Now, most of the Pashim learned that means that he changed his tactics. In other words, till now he was saying, he was admitting that he was David, saying, yeah, I'm David and I'm fleeing from Shaul. But now that he saw that might get him in danger, so he changed tactics and decided, you know what, I'm going to change my reason. Why I'm down here, I'm going to make myself as if I'm insane. The mob of the Rabbag actually learns by the Vaishanos Tamo means he changed his mind state. In other words, he actually started conducting himself, not that he made a conscious decision to change his approach, but actually started acting like an insane individual, like a person who was out of his mind. Okay? Vaisalobiodom, he started being very frivolous in their hands. Vaisobalblosos, he started tagging the doors with graffiti, started writing on the doors. Those that are the doors of the gate. By Yored Riros Kono, he started drooling down his beard. Now, he obviously did a pretty good job of portraying himself as insane, and therefore we're going to see next passage that he gets off the hook. But before we finish the perek, which we hope to do tonight, let's talk a little bit about the other part of Tanakh, which comes out from this incident. What perek in Tanakh describes this incident besides, or has to do this incident besides this perek here in Shmuel? Specifically this incident, not a parallel incident. This incident, same one. Boy, you people are going to be so embarrassed. Yes, I am. Which parak? But not every day. Hey man, all of you. Right? I told you, you're going to be very embarrassed. This will be kick at 5 Siddur.
Okay, give it to us.
5 Siddur.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I tried. Send it to get Sidur.
I looked
it up. That's right. It's in the Shabbos Avenue. That's right. David Bishanoso is that Oliv Navi Melech Goshev Bayelach. You people all get the shul so late, so you don't say Psuk in the Zimra, right? But there it is. The David Bishanoso is that Oliv Navi Melech Goshev Bayelach, right? Everybody knows where that is? Shabbos morning, Psuk in the Zimra, right? So, naturally, in the department. What page? Anyway, so naturally in the department of things which we used to do all the time, but we have no idea why we actually do, why would we possibly say this Mizmor Shabbos morning? Some of us have obviously been saying this for many years. I bet you we've never given a matter of thought at all why we say it Shabbos morning. Safe bet, right?
Because you change over from the Shuman, one Shuman to another.
You're saying good. We'll come back to this in a few minutes. Not bad. Did you think of that before today?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. So in any event, so this Mizmor is brought down the Otsar Tfilo Siddur. The following reasons, I wrote it down. Turn to my notes, which are on the last page. I did my staple my notes backwards, and now it's backwards. Mizmor Halos, this Mizmor, I saw David Kasher Barach Mipnei Shol. The last page. Last page of the handout. Yeah? Mizmor Halos, we'll come back to Mizmor in a few minutes. Mizmor Halos, I saw David. David made a Kasher Barach Mipnei Shol. No, leave him here for a few minutes. Let me Kasher Barach David Mipnei Shol. When David, when he ran away from Shol, El Achish Melchas. The Nikol Gankin Avimelech. Achish was called Avimelech, she had tzadik Avimelech, because he was a tzadik like Avimelech, where Shanichta Batari Tosara. Shlo Ratzalar, who didn't want to kill him, Kirisa Bemedrish Taylor. This is one verse. So it says that Davish Anastos Amolif Ne Avimelech. And here it says Achish. So one interpretation is that this Achish was a tzadik like Avimelech. Avimelech didn't come close to Sarah. Achish didn't kill David. This is a little bit difficult here because here it doesn't seem like Achish refrained from killing David because of any goodwill, but rather because David fooled him into thinking he wasn't David, that rather he was insane. But there, one could say on a simple level that all the kings, we know all the kings of the Plishtim were all called Avimelech. That was the title, like the emperor or the Caesar or the Pharaoh. That was their title. They're all called Avimelech. For our father, the king. So in any way, that's why he's called him there Avimelech. The Kasher Nitzel Mimenu, when he was saved from him, Amar Zeh Mizmor Toi Dorokel, he said this Mizmor is a thankfulness to God, Shitzvei who saved him. The Chiver HaShvach HaZeh, and he composed this Shevach. Everybody open up a Siddur. Everybody open up a Siddur. I'll let you know if I heard. Right? Yeah. The Chibur HaShvach HaZeh, he composed this praise, Api Alpha Beta, it's an owl face. But it starts off, Baruchos Hashem B'choleis, then it goes down to Moshe Shor Shor Rav Asonei Tzadik Hashem. Right, so Alpha to Tav. Except it's missing one letter. See which letter it's missing? No, it has Aleph, Avorcha. Vav, no Vav. Okay? Because Shanitza Mimenu, Omer Zem, Mizma Telegram, Chimera Shia Zal Pi Alpha Beta, Brosh Hem Sukim, Zula Savav Shubem Zal Pasuk. The Vav is the middle Pasuk. Where's the Vav? What? Upneem Ayechbaru. See that? It says Upneem Ayechbaru. Ravnaru is the end of the first phrase. What? But that's not in order. And after the hey, in the middle of the pasuk, you have a vav upnei ma'ich baru. Now, ufisha v'reich chutzlaretz. This is all from the Siddur of Yaakov Emden, by the way. Because he was running away from the chutzlaretz, megurish mistapech benachlas Hashem. He was banished from staying in the portion of God. L'chein vav vav b'hester. That's why the vav is hidden. If God hid his face for him. But in lieu of the Vav, Nichbala Pei. There's two Peis. Where are the two Peis? Right. One in the middle, and one on the right place, and the other at the end. In any event, why is this? Why is this Pei doubled? Ki Vav, because in code, Pei is Vav. If you take at bash gardak hatz vaf, Aleph being Tov, Beis being Shin, Gimel being Resh, Dalet being Kuf, Pei being Tzadik, and Vav being Pei. That's from the Gaon Yavis. But the Sefer Chazal Letzion Kosav is Zeh Shechibra Pi Aleph Beis, that which was written based on the Aleph Beis. Kavanos Lemos, the illusion is Shekmosha Torah Shereshimba Torah Ein Ba'osva Torah. Just like on the Torah, there's no letter for naught. You call Aleph Beis Tzvichalot Yad Ne'amadim and Pei, because you need the entire Aleph Beis to express your verbalization. God saw that, David saw, we're going to come back to this a few times tonight, that insanity had a purpose in this world. Even insanity had a purpose. V'araya, he had to be insane here. Originally he was astounded. Why was insanity created? Can these are my measures, like it says in the measures, which I'll show you later. Now, similar thing in the Akri Shom, which is the parish in the Old Tzart Tfilas Seder, says, Avorchas Hashem Choleis, Alderach HaMedrash Shokhratov, the Medrash Shokhratov is the Medrash Antilin. As a kol asa yofe bito, everything God made proper in its time. Amar Davne, Kodesh Baruch Hu, David said before God, Rivoyin Hashlo. Kol ma'asho asisa ba'olamecha, everything made in your world is good. Yofe asisa. Chutz mi'ashtus. Why did you make insanity? Ma'ano b'shoyte, what benefit to the world is there in insane individuals? We make them, nowadays we make them politicians. But in the old days, they didn't have any politicians. So what good was there in insane individuals, right? So kevich avoy to achish. What did get to achish? So I smoke. He made himself insane. So now he understood. The name said, also is man. Shall Achish until the time of Achish tell me that Dami Varach Hashem. David always blessed God. Rak Beishua Shoytev, when he saw an insane individual, Loyam Varach said, wouldn't bless God. And the also is man followed from that time on. Kshirat, the Gamash Dusu, until else when he saw that insanity was also a Maila. Azaman, Varach Hashem, Chole said, he said, I'm going to praise God all the time. The Gam is man Shiresa Shoytev. Even time when I see an insane individual, I'm going to bless him. Now that's very nice and very pretty, but it still doesn't explain why we say it on Shabbos. And that's really the focal theme I want to discuss this evening. Why we say this on Shabbos. So the Psalmim Rosh, I don't know who that is, but it's one of the Perushim Yod Tzartfila says that we say Mizmor Lamedalet on Shabbos, which is this one, because this is a quote. Mizneisha also Maaseh. I wrote the word Maaseh twice. This Maaseh, the thing occurred on Ebu Shabbos. David got down to the land of the Plishtim. This is based on some Chazal. I don't know how Chazal knows this from the Pesukim, but this happened on Shabbos. So David Mamish is Mechal Shabbos for this. How was David Mechal Shabbos? Excuse me. What? Besides that. And the Pasuk here tells.
Why he was Mechal Shabbos
again? No, how is he Mechal Shabbos?
Oh, how?
He wrote.
He wrote.
He was writing on the walls, right? So it's Mechal Shabbos, obviously, for Pekoch Nefesh. It was Chutz Shabbos Nitzel, but for the merit of Shabbos, he was saved. The who, and he, this, turning the page here, Harishon, Mizmor, Lamdal, is the first one, Betilim, Amadaber, Me'en Shabbos, it talks about things which are indirectly related to Shabbos at least, Achra Shemayim, after the first one. The first one on Psuki the Zimra on Shabbos morning is Hashemayim Misapi and Kavod Kel. Does it actually mention Shabbos in that one? I don't know if it does. The first added Mizmor we say Shabbos morning is on Atech Mizmor Levin Hashemayim Misapi and Kavod Kel. Does it mention Shabbos explicitly there? In Shabbos. No. Well, he just says here I'm not sure, maybe because Shabbos Kala could be in any event he felt, let me see if what he brings down here. He doesn't say where this one comes first. That's true. But each one has a reason. The question is what the reason is. Yeah, I don't see a reason. The article says like this, I'll read it with the article. I have the article laying sitting in front of me here. It says, the Zohar teaches that the prayers of Sabbath morning symbolize a special spiritual bliss that adorns Israel on the Sabbath. The angels join in their own hymns of praise to God, the Lord Israel, saying that our human spiritual elevation enables the angels themselves to rise to greater heights. The Titan holiness is expressed by the addition of psalms to the Psukim de Zimra and hymns to the blessings of the Shema. The choice of psalms is based on three fundamental concepts found in the Shabbos. The remembrance of that God finished the creation in 6 days and rested on the Sabbath, the Zeichel Maaseh Bereishis. The remembrance of the exodus from Egypt, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the idea that our Sabbath is a semblance of the world to come. So, I'm not sure which one Laminat Seach Mizmor David fulfills. He doesn't really explain it here. Yeah. Six additional ones. Tell me it's much here. I guess so. It makes sense. Six additional from the days of creation. But the thing is, I assume that this is just depicting the glory. The first one, just depicting the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the universe. So that's why it was chosen. I know that's lame, but that seems to be. I can't think of anything else offhand. That's not tonight's topic, though. The topic is L'David Rishanosa. So, I have here, as I saw somewhere, if you take a look here on the second page of the handouts, I saw somewhere, and now cannot remember, find where that reason, where, that the reason we say this Mizmor Shabbos is because Shabbos also requires an altered state of consciousness. A Shinui Tam. The reason I couldn't find it, I didn't know this. I saw it last night in my Otzer Tefillah Siddur. Otzer Tefillah is a compendium of Mefarshim on the Siddur. Very basic, good Siddur. A lot of Mefarshim. So, Otzer Tefillah, I looked last night and I saw it here. And I didn't bring this to Yeshiva with me this morning because I knew we have an Otzer Tefillah in Yeshiva. The thing is, the Otzer Tefillah, this is Sfarad. The Otzer Tefillah in Yeshiva is Ashkenaz. And obviously, Sfaradim must have, or at least the printers felt, that Sfaradim have more of an affinity to the Siddur and therefore require more Perushim. Because this Perush, which I had last night in the Sfaradi Siddur, was not in the Ashkenazi Siddur. So only this afternoon when I got home did I actually find it again in here. So let me read you a very interesting shot here. This is from the Siddur Shara HaShamayim. Don't know exactly who that is, but it's I don't even know in exactly who it is, but it says here, V'zeh Shevach, this praise to God, who ba'alpha beisa, it's an alpha. V'ein beischa psukim, the 22 psukim, k'neged osir star, which corresponds to the letters of the Torah. V'yesh b'kub samachal table says 161 letters, k'neged eked yudin arkan, has to do with the next one of the Kabbalistic names of God. Akeno mino sober Shabbos, why we say in Shabbos? K'nishtane b'tam l'mal yusor, Shabbos has a different taste. It's upliftedly Scottish to become holier. Even the food of Shabbos, mishtaneh tamol ma'yuso, its taste changes for the better. Chazal said, "Tavshul shel Shabbos reicho nodev." The dish of Shabbos, its smell, its fragrance wafts up. So you were saying this before. Kimat this thing, right? That the Shabbos is a different time. Just like we say that David was Mishane his time, so too Shabbos has a Shinui time, as a different taste. Now, the thing is, it's not enough to say this. Because obviously, David wrote this poem of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Shabbos right after his episode with insanity. So obviously, David linked insanity to Shabbos. Why is that? So that's I believe that the Shinui Tam of Shabbos is closely correlated to the Shinui Tam of insanity. What does that mean? What do I mean by that? In other words, insanity, the koyach for an individual to become insane, it's a disease. But it must, if God created it, it must have some positive manifestation as well. And the positive manifestation of insanity is an altered state of consciousness in the service of God. Now let's take a Nevuah as an example. The Rambam says when a Navi would get a Nevuah, he would fall down and look like he was having a seizure. Look like he was having an attack. It looked like he was undergoing insanity. It's not that he wasn't. It's that there's different kinds of insanity. There's an altered state of consciousness which one has no power over, which just comes and cannot be taken away, except maybe by hospitalization or drugs or whatever the case may be. That's true, or quote unquote true insanity. Then there's an altered state of consciousness which can be brought on by nevuah, by intense concentration in tefillah, by intense concentration in Torah, by intense connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's also an altered state of consciousness. That one is called also a shtus, but not the same kind of shtus. That's a shtus, like the Hasidim say, a shtus de kedusha. You're laughing. It's a very basic tenet in Hasidus. The Lubavitchers have a lot to say about that one. Yeah. And there's a Gemara about that in Ksuvah, Daf Yud Ches. Gemara says that there was a certain town, I forget which one it was. Ksuvah. There's a certain town that used to dance with a Rabbi to Rabbi Loi. He used to dance with his Bat Shel Hadas, with his Hadas branch in front of a Kala. And the other Tanoim, they didn't like it, you know, didn't suit, not Suka Pass. He probably had to take off his frock in order to do that. Niche, right? It's not right for Rosh Hashiva to do this. So it says that when he died, there was a pillar of fire between him and the crowd, which we says Gemara says only happens for one or two people in a generation. So Gemara says there are several versions of this statement, but one of the versions is Ahani le shtusei lamar. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi's shtus is what helped him to achieve this exalted position. See what the Gemara is saying? The Gemara is saying that there's a shtus and insanity, which is good. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? So here, in order to experience Shabbos properly, a person has to become a little bit of a little insane. Not insane in the sense that he loses his mind, but that he has an altered state of consciousness. He feels things differently. He experiences differently on Shabbos. Otherwise, he can't experience Shabbos properly. And that's why it seems to me that David HaMelech is saying here, with David, he changed his time. And you know what he experienced later on as a result? What's the pasuk which begins here with the test? Tamuru ki tov Hashem. Taste, right? That's the other place in the capital where tam appears. Tamuru ki tov Hashem. Taste that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good. In other words, in order to experience that Shabbos tikka tam, David had to be mishane his tam. It's interesting that we say in the Musa Shmon Esrei on Shabbos, we say Tamel Chaim Zoch, right? Those who taste Shabbos. Let's say, you know, Shomreah, or, you know, Mekayimei Mitzvoseah, or whatever else the case would be, Tamel. Shabbos has a certain time. And that manifests itself physically as well. You're all familiar with the famous story with Rebbe and Antoninus. Who remembers the famous story?
Yeah, with the radish?
Not with the radish. The cold meat, the cold food Shabbos morning. Rebbe didn't have, don't remember? Uh-huh. Rebbe and Antoninus didn't have children. They didn't invent it yet. So, typical as may seem, there was Shabbos before children. Anyway, so they didn't have children at the time, Rebbe and Antoninus, or at least he didn't have children at that Shabbos. And Antoninus was whatever he was, the prince, it's not clear exactly what his mission was, but he was a Roman nobleman. So he came and he ate by his good bread buddy Rebbe, and he tasted that Shabbos morning. Tremendous, tremendous delicacies. So he went to Rebbe afterwards and asked him, what's your secret? It was cold food, but it's stunningly good. So Rebbe said, I tell you what, we have one good spice. What's that spice? Shabbos. So what do we see here? Shabbos imparts a different taste, not just in the spiritual realm, but Shabbos imparts a different taste also in the physical realm. Right? Now, so far so good? Let's have some fun with this. What letter is missing in the L'David B'Shanoso? The Vav. What does the Vav represent? Now think Shabbos. What does the Vav represent? What? Two things. You're both right. It represents the 6 days of the week, including Erev Shabbos, right? and also represents a pipeline. What does a pipeline do? It connects, right? Pipeline of, and connects one thing and another thing. The letter Vav itself is Vav HaChibur, right? A connection between one thing and another thing. So what we're saying on Shabbos is we want to get away from the Vav. The Vav represents the 6 days of the week. And the Vav, the 6 days of the week, represent our connection to Olam Hazeh, right? To this world, right? Because these are those are the days when you don't taste the main Olam Haba. The days in which you're toiling. So on Shabbos, it's a Shinui Tam. What does a Shinui Tam require? Sever yourself from your connectedness to Olam Hazeh. Sever yourselves from the Sheishas and Mebrish. That's the Shinui Tam of Shabbos. Okay? And I think, although here I'm a little bit shakier ground, if I wasn't on shaky ground already, but here I'll be on shaky ground, the double pay, right? It says, what's the first pay? I don't have this. Close. That's the second. And the first one is, okay, so the extra pay, why Governor Melch has an extra pay is because pay represents, first of all, the mouth. And on Shabbos it says you have to open your mouth and praise Hashem much more than the rest of the week. But pay also represents opening. By its very nature, a pay is always open, right? Or it opens up. So a pay represents openness. So David HaMelech is saying on Shabbos you have to have a special degree of openness. What kind of openness? In order to receive, in order to be able to allow Kodesh Baruch Hu to be mashpia to you, to emanate to you all the kedusha of Shabbos, which is to be experienced. And in this regard, we have a very interesting ishbitzer. Take a look here at my handout here. Tikkata Shabbos. Everybody sees that in the middle of the page. Tikkata Shabbos Latzitza Korban Noseach. Where is that from? Listen. You ever notice this? I never noticed until somebody pointed out this to me when I was 18 or 19. No, or older. 19 or 20. Nebuch, you know, you daven Shmon Esrei every day, every week, week in, week out. But you never notice these things. It's just... Tikkata Shabbos Latzitza Korban Noseach. That whole first paragraph is written in backwards aleph base. Never noticed that? It's okay, I never knew it until anybody pointed out to me. You obviously did know. What? The art scroll highlights that, yeah, you see? Goes backwards. Toshin. Yes. Goes all the way back to Aleph. He can't the Shabbos. See, it brings down here, the art score brings down the first 22 words being with the letters of the alphabet in reverse order from Aleph to Tav. The Kabbalistic device symbolizes that after man reaches the full extent of his understanding, Tav representing completion, he must realize that he should go back to the beginning and deepen his spiritual understanding even more. By the way, the first time I heard this in the context, I was in Baltimore, near Yisrael, and Malcolm Lansky, one of the Rabbeim there, was a very, very profound thinker, was speaking Shabbos night, and he spoke about that, and he pointed that out, and then he pointed out besides that, which the article, which is not as well known, I mean, even this is not well known, obviously, but he said the next two words afterwards, after Oz, right, Tikkata Shabbos and Tzitzis Korban Noseach, etc., and then you go to Oz, so then it says, Misinai Mitztavu Alel, right? So he said that, and I don't remember exactly what he wanted to learn out from this, but he said that Mem of Misinai and Nun of Mitztavu, obviously they have the meaning of the word Mon, right? Mem Nun is Mon, which of course is Shabbos, one of the brachos of Shabbos. But also he then went on to explain why those letters which are brought down afterwards are to both letters which have Osios Sophios, which I don't want to get into tonight because I don't remember right in offhand what he said. But he said that, of course, the Osios Sophios were not originally part of the, well, I shouldn't say not originally, but they have meaning above and beyond the simple meaning of the letters of the alphabet. So that's why he described that Mem and Nun as coming afterwards, again, not for tonight. But in any event, so the Ishbitzer also has an explanation of why these letters go backwards in Tikkata Shabbos, and this is what I want to show you here. Tikkata Shabbos, Tzitzit Korban Noseach. You see, isn't it terrible? I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. We should all feel bad about it. Because we really don't know anything about davening. We'd say it day in, day out. I knew this, you know, Ms. Levy used to come to my classes in Biurei Tefillah. That's when I used to give out in Skokie to the women. We really don't know anything about davening until I gave that class. I said, Mamish, you know, things you don't pay attention to. Problem is that we start, when we're first taught how to daven, we don't have no way of understanding what we're saying, and therefore we just learn to rattle things off for the rest of our life. Very sad. Okay. So in any event, Tikkun Shabbos is going to say, "Beer b'zeh, Adoni Avi Moi Rabbi Agon Hakadosh Mishbet says Zuchar Livrachu Chayelam Abba." This is the Mishbet's son writing, obviously. So that teacher Anshe Knesset Agdola Tfilas Musaf. This is the reason why the Anshe Knesset Agdola made the Tfilah of Musaf on Shabbos Bosios L'Matfreya backwards. B'Tashrak, right? Tikkun Shabbos is Tisa Korban Osel. Vivnei, why? Because Shezeh Moreh, this demonstrates Shabbos Shabbos only Ma'osios Pneim L'Matzil. On Shabbos, the letters stand facing He who emanates towards us. Vivnei Enei Adam, and vis-a-vis our eyes, Heimu Upachim. Now, it's normally the rest of the week, it's incumbent upon us to go and be Mashpia on the world. We have to be Mashpia on the world the rest of the week. We're Chas V'Shalom not supposed to be influenced by the world, we're supposed to influence the world. So the rest of the week, the letters are in order. On Shabbos, we're supposed to receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, recharge our batteries. So on Shabbos, the letters stand facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not facing us. So vis-a-vis our perspective, they're backwards. You understand what's going on? But all week long, we look at the letters forwards because we're arranging them and saying them. On Shabbos, the letters from our perspective are backwards because they're not facing us. Rather, we're facing Hashem and we're receiving from Hashem. You understand the words? Nice words, right? So it goes on further. He says in greater detail. A person must take care to see to supervise himself on Shabbos. She gets a rock commotion rotten Hashem Yisbara, that he should try and shape his will, that he should only want that what Hashem wants. And he should forsake dato, his own intellect, and not even to put up on his own any receptacle. In other words, on Shabbos, on Shabbos, you have to try and be completely, how should I say, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You shouldn't even set up your own klikibul, you say. It says, don't even try to be a receptacle. Because receptacle, by definition, means that you're shaping the thing which you're receiving. You know, liquids, when they go into receptacle, so they take the form of the receptacle. So the receptacle has an impact on the shape of the liquid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to you on Shabbos, don't even try. Just sit back, relax, right, and take it in. Don't try and shape it. Put your own stamp on it, put your own impression upon it. On a weekday, you could do things like that. But on Shabbos, just take things in. So on Shabbos, a person is supposed to, see the Ishbetzer, lazov dato. To leave behind his own das. To leave his own intellect behind. To be mishana his time. To go a little bit insane. And, you'll see you like that because you're a chassid. So, because this is a good plug for those who drink on Shabbos. I don't, but those who drink on Shabbos, it's a great plug for them. Right. So, lazo, dato, to leave his intellect behind. Again, not to put up any barriers or any receptacles even from his own perspective. Now that we've seen all this, so we can see the Yalkut Shimoni on this. It's a fascinating Yalkut Shimoni. I told you already the thing which I... one more thing. I think perhaps this shtus enabled David to break out of the pattern of Shaul's influence. Shaul's house, that was a dry house, you know. People there... dry. They didn't drink, you know. They didn't have a good time. They weren't like that. They were very, you know, rigid, straight. We spoke about this a lot, right? A lot of Yerushamayim, a lot of careful restraint, all that. Later on, David, we find he goes dancing crazy when he does his Achnosas Aron Bris. Later on, when he brings the Aron to Yerushalayim, and Michal, Shaul's daughter, who still had her father's, you know, restraints, her father's Victorian man. manners. So she said, you know, this is not sukkah pass for the king to go and dance kechad arekim lifnei Ashur, you know, in front of all of his servants. And David says, by the rabbi, this is the best thing for me to do. I'm doing it before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a covet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what, where did David get this trait? Certainly not from the house of Shaul. Because in Shaul's house, they look disparagingly. They look down on these, you know, public displays of emotion in the service of God. So therefore, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what happened, I believe, that this David's trait is first manifest here. This insanity helped David along. And I have a proof for this. And that's what I'm showing the Yalkut Shmoni. It's a fascinating Yalkut. Really amazing. Vayakum David. Okay, David got up. By the way, I've skipped some words in the middle, so I put them in the margin. That's why there's a note here, an asterisk in the margin. Vayakum David. David got up. Vayivrach Bayomu, and he fled on that day, Mivnei Shaul, from before Shaul. Zeh Shomar Shaul HaKos, so that's what the Pasuk says. Es HaKol Asa Yofi B'Yitoh, HaKosh Baruch Hu made everything good, nicely, in its proper time. Kol Mashos HaKosh Baruch Hu Bolomo, everything, that's a Koelos Gimel, Kol Mashos HaKosh Baruch Hu Bolomo, Yofi. Everything HaKosh Baruch Hu made is good. Omar, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so David said before God, Ribbono Shel Olam, kol ha'asita b'olam ha'echa, everything you made in the world, yafe, is beautiful, it's nice, aesthetic, perfect. Chachma yafe min hakol, and chachma is best above everything. Or chachma is the best of all possible things. Or I could say that, I'm not sure, one could read the line like this. You can derive knowledge, you can derive wisdom looking at anything in the Bria. Chachma, I can get good understanding, a beautiful understanding, good beautiful knowledge from everything in the Bria. Except for lunacy, except for insanity. What benefit do you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, receive from having insane individuals? A person walks down. Now, talking here, listen, my boy's like, we're not talking about schizophrenics here. We're not talking about people who think they're Napoleon. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about insane individuals. We're talking about people who, you know, act with overt displays of, you know, lack of restraint and too much emotion, too much, you know, whatever, acting out. So that's what I'm talking about. A person's walking down the street, the Korab brother, and he's ripping his clothing. But you know, goes misachkin bo, and the children are making fun of him. They're rushing after him, they run after him. V'am misachkin olam, and the people laugh at him. Well, why is Selma Elohim? You're going to make a human being act like this? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David, listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael. Look at this. David, you're calling foul on lunacy, on insanity? You should know. You're going to need it. I'm going here to the side here. So and so too says Shlomo HaMelech, but whatever, somebody who mocks something, it's going to be collateral for him. In other words, he's going to have to be involved with it. Oh my HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at this loving Rav Yisrael. Shem says to David, Titzdar, put yourself in the position of anguish, in other words, yearning, diving for insanity, until I give you some of it. Ask me, David says, you don't understand what the purpose of insanity is. Ask me for it. Ask me to give you a little bit of it, then you'll understand. Amazing, isn't it? He says, ask me for insanity. So David, he didn't do it. He didn't want to ask for insanity. Can understand, right? Ella, what did he do? Instead of asking for insanity, he went to the plishtim. It's interesting, you know. He could have not asked for insanity and not have to go to the plishtim. But he went to the plishtim. Vayokum David. David arose. Vayivrach bayamu, and he fled on that day. Mipnei Shaul, before Shaul. Vayavah Lachish, he came to Lachish. Amalek Hashem says to David, David, you're going down to Achish. Eslo Arachta is Goliath. Yesterday he killed Goliath. V'alachta yomei to Achiv. And he's going out to his brother. Achish, according to this Medrash, was Goliath's brother. V'charba v'yadecha. And you're holding on to his sword, because remember, no, you got Goliath's sword. V'echo Achiv. And other brothers of Goliath, are Somrei Rososo Achish. Other brothers are the bodyguards of Achish. And this is figurative, of course, and Goyas' blood is no has not yet been dried up. In other words, Hashem said to David, you're acting pretty insane going down there right now. What are you doing? So came in Shaboy Elov. So once they came, got down. They're turning the page now. Boe to Achish. They came to Achish. Vamalei and the brothers came to Achish, his bodyguards. Vamalei, so they said to him, Narog Mishore Gasachinu. And so the brothers of Achish said to Achish, let's kill David who killed our brother Goliath. Samuel Achish, so Achish is a righteous guy. That's what we saw before. The Medrash said that Achish is righteous. Lo Milchamai saw, hey, fair is fair. There was a war. Wasn't there a war? Vilu Harag Achechem also. If your brothers would have killed David, wouldn't that have been fair? Because Lo Milchamai ago, wouldn't they be killing in war? Va'achshav Shaharag Zeh, and now that David killed Goliath, Kachis Nalu Achechem. That's the condition which your brother made with it, with him. If you call Ilachem Osivikani, Goliath said if he kills me fair and square. So Achish says, defend David. Says, look, it's fair. David himself was David himself was the victor because they made a condition. Why should I kill him? So Amrulay, so the brother said to Achishim Cain, if that's the case, Amor Mikisacha, then you should leave your throne. Shamachu to David. Because if that's the case, you should surrender the kingship to David. V'cheiru Oimer, and that's what it says in the pasuk which we saw last week, Halosa David Melchoritz, David is the king of the land. In other words, okay, you want to abide by the deal which he made with Goliath, then the deal was he would be king, and we're going to be slaves to him. So Achish, maybe it was a tzaddik, but it wasn't that big a tzaddik who was going to relinquish the kingship to David. So, both are short, it's Yare David. At that moment, David got afraid. He's Chiloimer, and he starts saying, Yom Yiro, on this day that I fear, Ani Elecho Eftach, upon you, Akash Baruch, I will trust. So David started davening. And he said, answer me at this moment. So Akash Baruch Hu said, David, okay, what do you want, David? So Hashem said, David says to Hashem, give me a little bit of that thing. What thing? Insanity. Amalei. So Akash Baruch Hu said, didn't I tell you? Bronze Ladover is somebody who derides a thing. Yach below, he will require it. And now you're asking for insanity. So David made himself like an insane individual. He started writing on the doors the following graffiti. Achish Melech Gas, Achish the King of Gas, Mechuyavli Meir Rivo, he owes me $100,000. $100 million. Vishto Chamish and his wife, $500,000. And Ubito Shalachish, says the Medrash, this is not part of the graffiti, this is part of the story. Ubito Shalachish says Shoyta. The Achish's daughter was also insane. So she was shouting and ranting and raving inside the palace. And David was shouting and ranting and raving outside. So obviously it was a tremendous scene. Achish said, you know that I'm not lacking any idiots, you have to bring me another idiot. Okay, now comes the punchline. When David, at that moment when David experienced that insanity, Samach David, Simcha Gedoyla. David rejoiced, the great rejoicing, Sheyotzelo Hashtus, when it came out from him the Shtus, Mitocha Simcha, out of the joy. I'm going to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. Now, to me, this Medrash says, although I can't, it's just my interpretation, but I think I'm on pretty strong ground, that David actually was told by Hashem to request insanity, check it out. At first, David refused, but now David did. And it's not just that David was acting. David actually experienced insanity at this time. And David understood, after having experienced insanity, what simcha is. That's what it says here. Sheyotzul ha'shtus mitoch simcha. He had great simcha because the shtus was brought to him at this time, and from the shtus it led him to the simcha, and from the simcha it led him to shtus. I'm not sure which is the cause, which is the effect. What? I'm not sure. I don't know which is the cause, which is the effect. But the bottom line is here that the simcha and shtus came together. And this, I think, is what I mentioned before, that when David is mecharker and mefazes b'chol oz, later on, by the achnasas ha'aron habris to Yerushalayim, that's because he was able to understand that simcha is an altered state of consciousness, something which one experiences akin to insanity. Just like a nevuah is an altered state of consciousness, so too simcha is. And David saw the mile of insanity. He knew now that in order that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should be able to afford a human being with the possibility of having a proper simcha, he had to afford the capacity to sometimes have it too extreme and reach insanity. And that's why this Mizmor of L'David B'Shanoisai is the Shabbos Mizmor. Because on Shabbos one has to be able to be Mishane one's Tam, to be Tam Uru'u Kitov Hashem, to experience that Shtus Tekdusha like we had there in Ksuvas by the guy of the Itana who was dancing in front of the Kala with the Hadas. That experience is the experience which opens one up to be able to receive the Kedusha and the Aura of Shabbos. In other words, if a person is not going to be able to open himself up and try and reach a higher level of emotion, of expressiveness and all that, then Shabbos can't be experienced the right way. You know, lest you think that this is just a Hasidish concept. It's not true. It's a Litvish concept as well. As a matter of fact, in the back of the Yotzer Tefillah Siddur, not this volume, the second volume, it has the Anhogos of the Gra and the Maaser Rav. And it says about the Gra that on Simchas Torah, by the Hakafos, his panim were baros kalapidesh. His face was aflame and fiery, as if it was literally a fire, I was literally on fire. It says after the time of the Hakafos, it wasn't like that. It was just, his face was happy like all the other Yom Tzadikim. But you see that even the Gra, the classic Litvak, if there ever was one, right? He too, he could see the simcha, the altered state on his face at the time that he was experiencing it. So therefore, this is what David's saying, and this is what Hashem told David to ask for. That's what David is experiencing, and David now, after his experience, can write L'David B'Shanoisai to say Avorchas Hashem B'Choleis, to know that under all conditions, he has the capacity to have that simcha HaKadosh Baruch. That's a defining moment in David's life. And as I said, let's try and finish the parak tonight. Okay, let's read Pasuk Tazvav Tazayin. Vayomer Achish El Avodav. Achish says to his slaves, Hinei Siru Ish Mishtagea. Here you saw some individual was going insane. Lama Tavio Soil Hai. Why do you have to bring it to me? Chasar Meshulagim Ani. Am I lacking Meshulagim? As the Medrash brings down, his daughter's insane. Rashi brings down also his wife was insane. Some of them, Farshim, say they became insane special for this occasion in order to help David out. Be that as it may, so he says, Am I lacking Meshulagim? Ki Avetim Ezel Ishtagea. Why? That you brought me another one to be insane by me. Hazeya Vola Basi. Do I need this guy to come into my house now too? Look, I have many insane people I have running around. I have a regular asylum here already. I need this one also. So the Malvim says, cute Malvim, if you take a look back on the previous page, it says Vav. Vayom Rachish Rachish says, Hinei Tiru V'chulei V'tzono Amar. Means to say, Berchech Tomer Echel B'Shloshet Terus. If you have three, one of three excuses to give me why I brought him here. Oshel Alef, Oshel Eidat Yishu Mish Meshuga. Either you know he was insane. Alzeh Meshav, and now he says, Hinei Tiru Yishu Mishtageah. You see that he's insane. Hello, Zenir, I'll call anybody to see this. Base, Otomer, maybe say Shevesh myself, that you brought in Kederach Shemavim, like people bring Meshugah Litzchok, in order to that I should be able to have a good time for entertainment. I have other insane people to entertain me. His wife and daughter. Maybe say, you didn't bring him, this became on his own, but it's not possible. Do you think he would come on his own? Insane people don't wander into the palaces by their own. And even if he didn't wander in, do you think he should have let him in? So therefore, he was very upset at his slaves for having let this fellow in. I guess maybe we should just make our schola on the next perek. Let's start the next perek. Chabez, Vayel David Misham, David went from there. Vayemaleta Moras Adulam, he fled to the cave of Adulam. Vayishmoechav Chabez Abib, so his brethren and all of his father's house heard. Vayedil of Shammah, they were afraid of retribution from Shaul, so they went down there. So, okay. Where's Adulam? Where's Adulam appear before in Tanakh? Very good. After the Mechiras Yosef, Yehuda goes to a new friend, Reu Adulami Ushmo Chira. He finds Adulamite friend whose name was Chira. And look, it's a fascinating chazal. Take a look here at the notes again. The Bracious Rabbit says, Vayet ad ish Adulami Ushmo Chira. That's in Bereishis Lamed Ches. Rabbanan Amrei, Chira hu Chiram. Chira is Chiram, Shabi Mei David. It's the same person. Chiram, the king of Tzor, who was David's friend. Shneimar ki oev haya Chiram le David kol hayamim. We love David all the time. Ramur haya ish hazeh lios ov lash oev l'shevet hazeh. This person was a friend always for the shevet. Rabbi Simon Amar, Chiram ha'achir haya. Rabbi Simon says, the Chiram ha'malachim is not the same Chira in Bereishis. But be that as it may, so Chazal go on to say, he lived a very long time, 1,200 years or so. So I don't know, one doesn't have to take a kipshuto, one could say it's just a connection, you know, Chira, Chiram, there's a connection which transcends the actual persona or person involved. But the point is, obviously for reasons which I don't know, I couldn't even guess, Adulam was a place where the people from Shevet Yehuda went when they felt downtrodden and forsaken, and left to their own devices, like Yehuda after Mechiras Yosef, and David after fleeing from Shaul. Adulam is where they went to regroup. So for some reason, which again we're not privy to, Adulam is where they went to regroup, and where somehow, for some reason which is lost to us, Shevet Yehuda had friends and acquaintances which would help them to rebuild their lives afterwards or subsequently. Okay? Beis, Beis Kapta Lov Kalish Matzok. So besides his parents and his members of his household, there came to him anybody who had a difficulty. Matzok literally means that they were in straits. The Rav says people who had psychological problems, internal straits. Obviously, he acted insane before, so he could relate to them. And any person who had a creditor who was trying to, you know, bankrupt them. Anybody who was bitter. So the Rabbah says anybody who was bitter because of poverty. The Mama says anybody who was bitter because they had an angry, mean temper. So all these people came to David, and he became their head. They're with him, 400 different people. 400 people. 400 is a good sign. 400 is a positive number. Like we saw before, the letter Tav, which is 400, means shlemus. So it was a good sign to David. But nonetheless, David in general is very, very down, depressed. It says here, Gimel, Vayelch David Misham Mitzpeh Moab. David went to the Moab outlook. Vayomel Melch Moab, he said to the king of Moab, Yetze no avi v'imi itchem, may my father and mother stay with you. Adashar yeida mayasi lakim until you know what God has in store for me. So imagine, Moab is the source of all of David's problems. You know, Moaviv lo Moavis, you know, all that. And remember what happened to David's forefathers, the house of Elimelech, when they went out to Moab, right? You have to imagine how depressed David must be about that he has to come on now to Moab. And that's, I think, alluded to that. She says, Mayasi li Elokim, not Mayasi li Hashem. Why? Midas Adin. He doesn't know if Hashem is going to save him now. He feels he's in this constant judgment and battle and difficulty of Mayas Ali Elokim. What does the Midas Adin have in store for me? This is probably a very low point in David's career. Vayachem is Pnei Melech Moab, so he brings his parents. He drew Vayachem means he led them to the face of the king of Moab. Vayesh v'imo, and they sat with the king of Moab. Kol yimei David Mitzud, as long as David was in that fortress. I guess the fortress is in Adulamite country. All right, the next pasuk. Alright, we'll try. Vayomer God HaNavi El David, God HaNavi, we meet here for the first time, says to David, Lo Sei Shevam Zuda, don't sit in the fortress. Lech Vasa Eretz Yehuda, go to Eretz Yehuda, Vayech David Vayava Yar Cheres, and David came and he went to the forest of Cheres, Chores. So a couple of things here. The Radak says that God told him to go to the land of Yehuda because it'll be safer there. Because the people of Yehuda, they'll make an underground railroad type of thing and keep him safe and they'll hide him. I don't know if that's the pshat. I will have to see. It could be the exact opposite. That God is saying to, after all, he's traveled 400 people, it's hard to keep 400 people secret. So maybe he's not saying to David, go out there with the 400 guys and start, you know, bring matters to a head. Try and draw Shaul out into warfare and see if we can resolve this issue once and for all. I know we'll have to see in the course of our learning in this parak. Be that as it may, the Radak Lashit also says, as long as David stayed in Yehuda, Itaka stayed out of trouble. He later gets to trouble after he leaves Yehuda and goes elsewhere, as we'll see later in the parak. Vayavo Yar Cheres, so the Radak brings out a medrash, Yar Cheres, Cheres means dry. Dry and tough. And when David went there, it became a yard, became a forest, because since David was the Mashiach Hashem, it started growing and sprouting and started being rejuvenated. One other thing here, which the Mephoshim didn't doubt, is that the king, ultimately, David's going to go out back to Moab and complain to him that they killed his parents and his family. And it never records when it happened. So the Mephoshim say here that when David left Moab and went to Yar Cheres, that's when the king of Moab treacherously went and murdered David's parents and brothers and all those people left behind. Okay, we'll stop here for time.